This is Money Talk.
I can take money and I can make it into more money.
25 years on the air with advice on money matters. Here's your host, Bob Brinker.
From the beaches of Waikiki to the shores of Block Island Sound, it's America's money program, Money Talk. Bob Brinker along with you. Thank you for joining us. Before we get to our guest segment, let's take a look at the week ahead in the canyons of Wall Street. This will be the data flow that should get most of the attention. On Monday, we'll get the Labor Market Conditions Index. Now, this index is something that is very important to the Federal Reserve. By the way, the Federal Open Market Committee reconvenes on September 20 and 21. That means they will have the August employment report in hand before they go into that meeting. But as we all know, the Fed has a dual mandate from Congress. That is job creation and low inflation. That's the dual mandate. But this index, the Labor Market Conditions Index, it goes beyond that and provides what you would call a very broad view of the labor market. It's watched closely by the Federal Reserve, and it's important. It summarizes a wide range of labor market indicators. It was created by the Federal Reserve, and they use it. They care about it. They watch it closely. And so the way to look at this index, right now it's at minus 1.9. The way to look at this index is mainly is direction. Watch the direction of this index because it pulls together many labor market indicators into one place. In fact, there is a lot of detail. There are 19 components in this index. And it's watched very closely by the Fed. Right now it's at minus 1.9. So when this index comes out Monday morning, 10 o'clock Eastern, what you want to look at is the direction of the index. Will the index improve to a level higher than minus 1.9? If so, by how much? Or will it degrade? That's what we're watching for. Also, Tuesday morning, we'll get productivity and costs. Now, productivity's been a bit of a problem recently. The last non-farm productivity quarterly report was in negative territory. This one's supposed to be in positive territory by about 0.5%. And we'll also be looking at unit labor costs. Now, the change is estimated at 1.8% in this report. We'll see how that comes in on Tuesday morning. These are important items for inflation going forward, productivity measures and unit labor costs. On Thursday, we'll get the update on jobless claims. I mentioned earlier they've been behaving very well. The consensus is for 265,000 first-time claims. Last week, 269,000 came in. The four-week moving average, which is the most important figure, is around 260,000. That is a really low level. And that indicates that we're not seeing a whole lot of movement on the layoff front. We don't want to see a whole lot of layoff movement, obviously. And then on Friday, we'll get retail sales for the month of July. The month-on-month change estimated at 0.4%. Taking out autos, 0.2%. And we've been seeing a gradual improvement in retail sales over the past year, but nothing dramatic. There hasn't been any spike in demand, nothing really that exciting. But we will get an update on the retail sales situation with Friday's report. Not a whole lot going on this week in terms of Fed speak. We are at that time of year now where it looks like a lot of the Federal Reserve participants are on vacation. And so we don't really see much on the calendar this week in terms of Federal Reserve members out there. But keep in mind, in late August, they're going to get together in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. They do this every summer, late August, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, they get together. They certainly picked a scenic spot in the shadow of the Grand Teton Range. But I have to say that a lot of people are looking at this Jackson Hole confab, annual confab, for some indication of what might come out of the Federal Reserve in terms of future policy. Now, here's what's important. We have a Federal Reserve meeting scheduled for September 20th and also September 21st. That meeting is on the books. In addition to that, we have a meeting scheduled for early November, right before the general election. What a time to schedule a meeting, huh? And then we have another meeting scheduled in December. So, technically speaking, there are three opportunities for the Federal Open Market Committee at these meetings to make changes in policy. If you were a betting person and you were smart, you would have to conclude that if there is going to be a rate increase this year, it would be logical that it would happen in December, assuming the numbers remain favorable, the economic numbers, because we all know the Fed is data dependent. The next time we're reminded by that by a Fed member will be the 10 millionth time that they're data dependent. We know that. We get it. So it would be logical, if the data remains favorable, that December would very much be on the table for a possible 0.25% rate increase. I mean, if they're just dying to hike rates. The least logical of these remaining three dates this year would be the meeting right before the election. Because, frankly, in my opinion, if the Federal Open Market Committee raises rates 1 week before the general election, then as a group, they need psychiatric help. And that would be the dumbest thing they could do, to raise rates a week before a general election when they've only raised rates one time in 9 years. I mean, that would be dumb and dumber. So I don't expect them to do that. So if the data is favorable, December would be on the table. November, for me, is a no-brainer that they don't act. But that leaves September 21st, the second day of their two-day meeting, when they make an announcement about rates. What happens then? I think that the August jobs data will play into that decision. If it's a gonzo number on the upside, that certainly would get their attention. If it's not, that would have another implication. So we'll watch all the data flowing in between now and the September FOMC meeting. There is no way to completely eliminate the possibility of Fed action at the September meeting because we don't know the data between now and then. So we shall see. It certainly should be interesting. We'll be back with our guest segment. Stay with us on Money Talk.
Money Talk.
Here's a free business tip. Work with people you trust. When you work with us, your business becomes our business, and we take that very seriously. The United States Postal Service. Priority, you. Learn more at usps.com/forbusiness.
I'm business analyst Jill Schlesinger with a small business success story sponsored by the U.S. Postal Service. NatureBox is a growing subscription food service that delivers curated selections of carefully sourced snack foods with simple ingredients. Founder and CEO Gautam Gupta says, Because NatureBox snacks are free of artificial preservatives, we must rely on our shipping provider to deliver freshness to our customers. USPS plays a key role in that success. Gotham knows that when you rely on the U.S. Postal Service, your business becomes their business. The U.S. Postal Service. Priority you.
One last tip before we go. Hire people that can help your business reach new heights. Ship with us and reach every corner of the country. The United States Postal Service. Priority you. Learn more at usps.com/forbusiness.
This is Shaquille O'Neal. Here with 13-year-old Dylan.
Pleased to meet me.
What's that smell?
My body spray, dude.
A little strong, isn't it, bro?
You know it.
This is the perfect time for me to introduce new Gold Bond Men's Powder Spray. More than a scented body spray, it controls odor and wetness with a sophisticated scent. It really separates the men from the Dillons.
Hold up. Have my earbuds in. You say something?
Nope. Fellas, stay cool with Gold Bond.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
Hey, boys and girls, don't miss your last chance for the summer blowout sale from Chamonix. Right now, you'll get a free month of Genucel with your order today. That's right. Chamonix is giving away a free month supply of Genucel if you call right now. You've heard me rave about the most effective under-eye bags and puffiness treatment called Genucel Plant Stem Cell Therapy. With its immediate effects, you'll see results in 12 hours. That's guaranteed, or you get your money back. And now Chamonix is giving away their best-selling Liesence Neck Treatment absolutely free. Just pick up the phone and order Genucel today. Listen to Natalie from Montrose, Pennsylvania. She said, I've used this product less than 2 weeks and see a brightness to my eyes in reducing the appearance of bags. Great product. Here's the number, 800-663-2495, 800-663-2495. Call right now and upgrade to free shipping. That's right. That's three free gifts with your order of Genucel. 800-663-2495, 800-663-2495. That's 800-663-2495.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
Summer isn't fun when you're hungry.
Give me a math quiz.
I'll stay after class.
I'll clean the chalkboard.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
If your child relies on free school lunches, we can help provide them with free meals this summer. Visit feedingamerica.org/summermeals to find your local food bank for help. Together, we're feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Yes. Who's it?
Hey, this is Dr. Drew.
And I'm Mike Cathery.
And on the next Midday Live, we will take your calls.
And some of the stuff that Trump is saying is explainable.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, Allah. It's Allah's fault.
He's making Trump say stupid things.
That's right.
There is a Muslim gentleman who's alleging that Allah is causing Trump to make stupid mistakes.
Of course.
Good times. That's on the next Midday Live with Dr. Mike Cathery on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
This is Money Talk.
Coast to coast, border to border, the islands of Hawaii and north to Alaska. It's Money Talk. Our guest in this segment is Kevin Kelly. Kevin's new book is The Inevitable, Understanding the 12 Technological Forces That Will Shape Our Future. If the name sounds familiar, Kevin Kelly helped launch Wired magazine and was executive editor for 7 years at Wired magazine. He's written for The New York Times, The Economist, Science, Time, The Wall Street Journal, among others. And his new book, The Inevitable, Understanding the 12 Technological Forces That Will Shape Our Future, was recently released. Kevin, we thank you for your time. It is great to have you with us.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Kevin, tell us why you wrote this book.
It's to help people prepare for the future by embracing these changes that are coming so that through that embrace we can actually steer them the way that we want them to go.
Kevin, as somebody that's been immersed in technological change for many years, let me ask you this question. Are there things here in 2016, as you observe the scene, are there things that have happened already or are happening now in the world of technology that came as a surprise to you?
There were many things that surprised me. I was initially skeptical of the viability of Wikipedia. I didn't think an encyclopedia that anybody in the world could change at any time would ever be reliable. But here it is. It's the most powerful document of facts that we have. That was a complete surprise to me.
Anything else?
I think I was surprised also that we don't have virtual reality right now, because I was a very early experiencer of virtual reality in the late 1980s, and it was quite sophisticated at that time, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be everywhere in 5 years, and I was completely wrong.
You write in your book, it's 2046, you don't own a car or much of anything else, paying instead to just subscribe to items as you need them. Virtual reality is as commonplace as cell phones. You talk to your devices with a common set of hand gestures. Is this the world we're headed for?
Absolutely. So even though I was wrong about virtual reality in this timing, it's actually now happening because it's three orders of magnitude cheaper than it was back in the 1980s. That is a gift brought by cell phone technology, which virtual reality basically is borrowing to make it a commodity. And so I think we're headed to a time when a lot of what we use, we won't own. We will subscribe or pay to use and then leave it behind or have it been taken away after we're done. We can think of a self-driving Uber car taxi service where we actually just summon cars. They come, they drive us to where we want to go, and they leave us, and then they go on to move someone else. And they may just drive around all day and not even need a parking spot. So I think we're rapidly headed in this direction in the 20 to 30-year time horizon that I'm talking about.
Now, Kevin, this could have implications for a number of industries. You just mentioned the automobile industry. What are your thoughts on this?
Yes, I think it's going to be highly disruptive. I think this is not just, of course, robots and virtual reality, but a lot of artificial intelligence is going to be as disruptive to the way things are run and maybe many business models as the Industrial Revolution was when we automated everything, when we added what I would call artificial power to the world. Instead of relying on human power and animal power, we relied on this new thing of artificial power, steam power, electricity, the gasoline engine. All those kinds of things allowed us to do and build to an extent way beyond our human muscle. And now we're going to do the same thing with our human minds. We're going to have artificial minds, and we're going to apply that to most things in our lives, from education to sports to the military, to, of course, business and consumer items. And that's going to change the world, I think, almost to the same extent that the agricultural world was changed by the introduction of automation.
Well, you know, a cynic looks at this, and nobody knows anything. This is all future stuff. Nobody knows for sure. But a cynic looks at this and says, well, or might say, well, this reminds me of Star Trek, where things get to a point where, well, basically everything's already done for you. You get up in the morning and there's nothing really for you to do. Everything's already been done. So you just spend your time trying to become a better person. Is that where we're headed?
Well, we're certainly not headed there in the 20 to 30-year period, again, which is the horizon that I'm talking about. So I'm talking about the digital world from those parts, which is about 30 years old, we'll say. So a good rule of thumb in science and techniques is if you don't know where you are, how long it's going to be, you just double where you've come from. You just assume you're halfway. So let's assume we're halfway. So we have another 30 years. And in that horizon, we're not anywhere near Star Trek. But we are we will be in a place in say, 30 years, where many of the tasks that we right now define in terms of efficiency or productivity, things where we're concerned about a product, a measurement, of output. Those are the kinds of tasks that we will automate, not just with artificial power, but with artificial minds. And so, and many of those jobs, those tasks, will be things that we do, like diagnosing X-rays, which now an AI can do better than a human, or going through piles and piles of legal evidence, which an AI, artificial intelligence, can do better than, say, a human paralawyer. So these are the kinds of things, because these are things we kind of measure in terms of efficiency. Efficiency and productivity are for bots, or for robots and AIs. The things that humans are good at are the things that efficiencies are not really as important. And those are things like discovery or innovation or science, which are all based on the fact that you are making experiments that fail, that don't work. You try stuff that isn't going to succeed. And that, by definition, is not efficient. And that, by definition, are the kind of places that humans are going to – that we're going to go to and excel in and get paid for.
Is this a better world that lies ahead?
I believe, on average, it is better for the average person globally. There will absolutely be areas of the world that will continue to lag behind. There will be other, we'll call them occupations, that will disappear. But on average, I think the average person will be better by this world, because we have more and more choices and options. And so there will be more opportunities and more freedoms on average for people in the world through this technology.
You know, I think of the person who paid $500,000 for a taxi medallion in New York City before Uber was created, and now they have basically a taxi medallion that's not worth $500,000.
That's right, yeah. And so those are an examples of someone who basically had what we would now look back on and say is an artificially inflated asset that's worth nothing. And that's not uncommon in business,
yeah,
to be put out of business by something that is,
that's true,
a result of competition.
1-800-934-2221. Taking your calls for Kevin. Right now, Kevin Kelly, our guest, The Inevitable, is his new book. 1-800-934-2221. You can talk directly to guest author Kevin Kelly right here on Money Talk.
This is Money Talk.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom sleep gels. They're non-habit forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom sleep gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
This is Charles Osgood. Go down the pain relief aisle and you'll see a lot of different pain relievers. But have you tried Salonpas Deep Relieving Gel? It's fast-melting, quick-absorbing, penetrating, deep relief. Perfect with sore muscles or joints. Salonpas Deep Relieving Gel has three powerful active ingredients that work for up to 8 full hours. In fact, nothing else you can buy is proven stronger or more effective against pain. Look for the tall blue box next to the Salonpas patches. Salonpas Deep Relieving Gel.
Get clarity on the things that make you go. Live and local. KABC.
Three-time Olympic doubles gold medalists Serena and Venus Williams are out of the women's doubles competition at the Summer Olympics. It's their first ever doubles loss in Olympic competition, having gone 15-0 entering the Games. Speaking to Westwood One Sports, Serena Williams insists the loss wasn't devastating.
We have a chance to compete for our country, and we did the best that we can, and we had a blast out there. And, you know, I wouldn't actually say it was devastating. I think it was a lot of fun, and we will always remember, you know, these moments and these matches. And at the end of the day, I think that's what matters most.
Yankee slugger Alex Rodriguez announced his retirement Sunday. Correspondent Richard Roth.
For Alex Rodriguez, it really was like a Godfather thing. It came down to an offer that he couldn't refuse. Yankee owner Hal Steinbrenner, in chats with Rodriguez, telling him, in effect, become a special advisor to the organization, stay within the Yankees, but in effect, stop playing.
Right now, Dow futures are up 24, NASDAQ's up 8. I'm Elliot Francis.
If you're considering going solar, SunPower encourages you to do your homework. Look for solar panels rated number one for durability, lasting up to 40 years or more. And look for a solar company that makes their own panels, covered by a 25-year power and product warranty. Does such a solar company even exist? SunPower's been doing it for over 30 years. Demand better solar. Ask for SunPower.
Semper Solaris, SunPower's residential national dealer of the year. Right now, Semper Solaris, your local and veteran-owned SunPower dealer, is still offering the equivalent of the expired state solar rebate. That's up to $3,000 off. Additional discounts for military and first responders. Semper Solaris, highest quality SunPower panels, lowest cost, and a customer experience second to none. Who are you going to call?
Semper Solaris!
Call 888-682-0800. That's 888-682-0804. Go solar American style with Semper Solaris and save up to $3,000. Call now, 888-682-0804 or visit SemperSolaris.com.
CSLV number 978152. Savings awarded as a discount off system price. Some restrictions and site conditions apply.
Today's economy forced Dr. Kim to make a decision about his money.
In a savings account, you're not making any money at all. I have some money in stocks and mutual funds, and I don't trust the market.
His prescription? Real estate. The problem?
I can't do it on my own. I just didn't really know how to make it happen. And that's when a friend introduced me to Home Union.
Home Union makes it as easy as buying stocks with their end-to-end real estate solution.
You can figure all these things out on your own, or you could leverage the power of a team to do all this for you.
The concept is simple. You invest, they do the rest. Home Union does it all. But what about market stability?
I mean, it doesn't really matter to me whether the market goes up or down. I'm still going to be getting cash flow from these investment properties.
They'll even help you sell when you're ready. Use your IRA with no tax penalties. Call now for a free consultation. 800-727-3516. Follow Dr. Kim's lead.
I'm going to build my own personal empire, one house at a time. Yeah, go to Home Union, definitely.
800-727-3516. 800-727-3516.
Dr. Stephen Rosen on cancer and City of Hope.
We're in the forefront of care. We have the talent, and then we have all of the options that may allow us to control a cancer that in other places, physicians may say, I'm sorry, we've reached the limit of what we can accomplish. We're actually able to formulate drugs, to develop the clinical trials, and then actually take it to patients. The research goes from the laboratory to the clinic and from the clinic to the laboratory, and we're all involved as a team. It is truly unique to City of Hope. There are very few institutions that have the capability of taking a discovery and bringing it all the way to the treatment of an individual.
City of Hope is a world leader in cancer research and treatment. Our doctors and scientists turn laboratory breakthroughs into treatments that outsmart cancer. Find out more at cityofhope.org. City of Hope, the miracle of science with soul.
This is Money Talk.
On your radio across America, worldwide on the web, it's Money Talk. We are very, very happy to have you with us. Kevin Kelly is our guest. His new book, The Inevitable, Understanding the 12 Technological Forces That Will Shape Our Future. During the break, Kevin, I checked on those New York City taxi medallions. Actually, they were trading a couple of years ago at over $1 million. Now they are actually back down to about $500,000. I suspect you would not pay $500,000 for a taxi medallion.
Not right now. No, never. And that's because as disruptive as things like Uber have been, they're going to become even more so, whether it's Uber or any of the many dozens of other automobile manufacturers who are getting into this business. They're going to be automated, computer-driven cars within this time frame of a couple of decades. And so those medallions, unless something drastically changes, will be not worth very much.
So you have confidence, I assume, that the technology, the automobile technology, will advance at some point in the future to a stage where we can have driverless cars that will not be crashing?
Yes, they will. You can never say you have a car that never crashes at all, because that's just physically impossible. They will just crash a lot less than the ones that we drive. There has been one case already of an auto-driven car that killed the driver. But we forget that every year, we human drivers kill 1 million, more than 1 million people worldwide. And so there's been no cause to ban humans for driving, because we're actually pretty lousy drivers. And so these AIs, even though they will kill some number of people because there's accidents, they're going to kill a whole lot less. It's a whole lot less safer to have an AI. We know that already just from the number of millions of miles these cars have already driven, that they drive safer than humans. And so, yes, you will get into the car because it's actually safer to have the AI drive you than to have your friend drive or to drive yourself.
We've seen incredible progress in the cell phone area. Where do you see that going looking ahead?
Yeah, well, the mobile world, the world of these miniature computers that we carry in our pockets, we really shouldn't think of them as phones, because actually we use them for phoning less and less. And we
You're use right. They're computers. They're computers.
They're computers. Right. They're supercomputers
yeah.
that are in a pocket. And
yep.
by the way, they're also surveillance devices that you pay for yourself and voluntarily carry around. And so there are problems with all these wonderful devices. And the more powerful technology is, the more powerfully it will be abused. So these the mobile computers that we carry around will be doing not just allowing us to call and to share photos, but actually, like we see with Siri, they will be the little device that allows us to communicate with this assistant, this AI presence that we will have, this sense of always being there, that will be able to recognize our voice and respond to our gestures and to anticipate things for us. And imagine a kind of a GPS for your life instead of just for your car.
Mobile phones are surveillance devices that we carry around voluntarily. Why don't you provide a little color for our listeners on that?
Yeah. So, there's at least 24 different, we'll call them different agencies, different companies, different ways in which the average American today is routinely tracked. And that tracking is like when you use your credit card. So that information is recorded somewhere. And every piece of mail that you put into the U.S. mail, a letter, the address on both sides, the cover of both sides of the mail is scanned and recorded in some capacity. So when you drive down the street, there's all kinds of devices in the road that track either your license plate or other fast passes that you have. So there's so many ways in which our lives are tracked, and we also self-track. We carry Fitbits and things like that, and of course our cell phones are all part of this. And so in 30 years, we will be tracking most of our lives in the physical world and all of our lives inside the digital world, including virtual reality. So we have to kind of make sense of that. It's not going to go away, but we can learn to civilize it or domesticate it or make it work, because right now the way that it works is really not very satisfactory to a lot of people. But we can make this world of tracking a little bit more reasonable by what I call covalence, which is that we can watch who watches us. We can track who tracks us. And if it goes both ways, we feel a lot better about it.
And what is the purpose of all of this tracking that is being done?
Ah, what we get out of tracking is personalization. So I want my friends to treat me as an individual, to know me as a unique person, and so I'm transparent, I'm open to them, and the more I'm open, the better, the more intimate they can be. And the same thing with companies. We want companies to treat us personally, remember who we are, remember our preferences, remember our sizes, whatever it is, treat us as an individual. We even want our governments to treat us as individuals, to be aware of our circumstances, to kind of, be humane in our treatment, given where we are. And I think the only way we know how to do that is to reveal something about ourselves to whether it be our friends, our companies, our governments. They have to know us. Otherwise, we get treated as a generic cog. And so we should have that option in some ways to choose what we want. If we want to be kind of invisible and just a generic cog, we should have that choice. But if we want to have personalized service, then that's where tracking comes involved. We have to become transparent. So the way I kind of reduce this to is that, vanity trumps privacy. And when we give a choice, most people are kind of pushing that lever towards the vanity, towards the personalization.
Most people are not that keen on the concept of the government tracking their every move.
No, and it's not. I'm not saying it's the government tracking their every move. I'm talking about it's the companies, and it's the Facebooks and the Googles and the Amazons and the credit card companies collectively. And so I don't want to live in a world, and I don't think we're going to make a world where the government tracks everybody. In some senses, they don't have to. The government wants to know something about people. They actually ask Facebook. They force Facebook to tell them about this. And so I think we need to, you know, continue to have safeguards about what's reasonable for the government to ask. But if we want the government to treat us in some ways as personal, we have to reveal something to the government about ourselves.
Our guest is Kevin Kelly. His new book, The Inevitable, Understanding the 12 Technological Forces That Will Shape Our Future. Kevin, for those in our Money Talk listenership who have youngsters who are thinking of college majors going forward, especially this time of the year, as they look forward to a new school year, are there areas of study that jump out for you for those that want to be prepared for this new future?
Well, when I was at Wired, I hired a lot of college graduates, and I have to say a couple of things. One is I was far less interested in their education degrees and even, to some extent, their major, as I was interested in their experience and their attitude. So we used to have a saying, hire for attitude, train for skills, because the kinds of skills that often these companies need these days, particularly in the tech sector, are predominantly things that aren't being taught in even universities, the best universities. They're just moving so fast. And so the primary skill you want to graduate with is the ability to learn, the how to learn, and not just how to learn in general, but how you learn, which is a very high bar to understand. It's the best way in which you learn, and you can actually maximize your ability to learn, because that's where you're going. All of us are permanent newbies. Not just the college graduates, but even oldsters like me, we are going to have to keep relearning, unlearning what we thought we knew, and we're in a constant, forever, eternal, relentless race to kind of keep learning. And so that is really the skill that you want, much more important than the actual major that you majored in. But there are a couple of areas where you can name your price if you have some kind of experience in that, and that is within artificial intelligence, and that is these days actually in virtual reality, which is a kind of it's kind of a visual arena in which not just filming, but you're kind of filming in three dimensions. That's everybody's hiring there. They can't find enough people. Whether that will last in 10 years, I don't know. But as of this year, if you get those kinds of skills in VR, you can find a job anywhere you want.
Our guest, Kevin Kelly. Kevin, I have to ask you, who do you think makes right now the best smartphone?
The best?
It's probably the one you own, but I won't ask you that. I'll just ask what I asked.
Yeah. So I don't know. I use a iPhone 6, which is only my second smartphone. So I'm not an expert. I've seen some of the other Chinese ones that are best in terms of what you get for your dollar. The iPhone's obviously overpriced, but for me, it's best because I'm not very techy, and I don't want to have to deal with things I like integrated, perfectly smooth interface. So for me, the best is an iPhone.
When you look at the tech landscape, you look at the companies out there, the major companies I speak of here, are there any companies that you find particularly attractive when you think about where they'll be 10, 20 years from now?
Well, let me just say one thing is I think the largest companies that these large companies that run a lot of data, like Google and Amazon, Facebook, These benefit from something we call in economics the network effect, meaning that the bigger they get, the more attractive they become to users. The more users they get, the bigger they get. So they have this compounding, accelerating, snowballing effect. And the thing about those is that they're kind of a natural monopoly, but they're very ephemeral. So So while they are, while Microsoft hasn't gone away and is still making money, it's not in the center of the culture anymore. It was displaced by Google, which was the giant for a while, which is now also being displaced by Facebook. So they have a very short period. So in 10 years, I suspect that the biggest companies in the world will not be the big five right now. There will be another set that have big data, and I would bet most likely there will be some of the virtual reality companies. Those five big fives, the Amazons in the world, which I respect tremendously, aren't going to go away. They probably will still make money, but they won't be the models that everybody is looking up to. They won't be the biggest on the block. It's going to be basically a company that does not even exist today.
Ken's on the line in Florida. Ken, you're on with Kevin. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ken.
I worked at a company 15 years ago who was one of the pioneers in using data mining technologies such as neural networks, and which, as you know, is a very powerful correlation analysis type software. Tons of applications out there that would save billions of dollars. A lot of them are in the government arena. We experienced tremendous pushback from the government because of their fear of losing jobs. They ignore the fact that they can save billions of dollars and save lives. But I guess it was too early a time to anyone to want to consider this changes of this magnitude. Do you have comments about that?
Yeah, I understand the government's reluctance because they really aren't in the business of trying to make the most innovative thing, and that's why it came to companies like Google or Baidu or Amazon, who weren't constrained by the constraints that government have. And so they very easily will destroy jobs knowing that they will create more jobs in the effect. So I don't look to the – it's not doesn't surprise me that the government was reluctant to invest into that.
Tell us, Kevin, what you would like our Money Talk listeners to take away from this book, The Inevitable.
I would like them to understand that there is tremendous opportunities coming, that this is actually the best time ever to make or do something or to start something. It's the best time in terms of history because we've never had as many tools as possible right now. You can start a company by outsourcing almost everything except the core idea. You can have easier entry into a marketplace, better distribution. And it's the best time in terms of the future because we're at the cusp of this incredible new era of artificial intelligence, virtual reality, huge amounts of data that's going to produce, I think, something as big as the internet and bigger. And we're just in the very first days, and you are alive right now at this opportunity to take all these low-hanging fruits and take something, add artificial intelligence to it. That won't be true in 20 years from now, but it's true right now. And there'll be so much to grab right now if you want to. So this is a wonderful time to do something. Go out and do it because you are not late.
Let me ask you this, Kevin. How could it be that the United States is not the world leader in Wi-Fi access? We're not even close to the world leader in Wi-Fi access for all citizens. How could that be?
Yeah, it's a remark. If you go to Korea or places like this where they've got gigabyte to the home,
right?
I think we're a very large country, and so actually trying to do this in a fair way so that you're not penalizing people who live in the center is a much tougher problem than just doing little Sweden or Singapore or somewhere like that. And so I think the challenges are a little bit bigger, but we are not – but we're going to solve this problem. We're going to solve this problem, and I think it's partly the government recognizing that some of the restrictions they had in the past have deterred innovation. But we're not done yet. So I think the U.S. still has a chance to become the world leader in this.
So do you think when Al Gore invented the internet that he just forgot about that part?
No, of course, Al Gore didn't really invent the internet.
I'm kidding. Do you have a sense of humor?
Well, by the way, there's a lot of people who don't have a sense of humor about this, so you have to be careful. I think the thing is that, you know, the internet itself is hardly 10,000 days old. Social media is less than 2,000 days old. I just want to emphasize that we're at the beginning of the beginning of the beginning, the first hour. There is so much in front of us. Embrace this technology. Use it. We can only steer it by using it. We can't steer it by prohibiting it. So engage with it. Embrace it, and you'll have a great life.
Kevin Kelly, our guest, his new book, The Inevitable. Kevin, we thank you for your time. We wish you continued success.
Well, thank you very much. It was so great to be here.
This is Money Talk.
Money Talk.
I'm a U.S. Air Force member stationed overseas, and we have three rescued mutts. Stone Phillip was to be euthanized. There were bacteria crawling all over his skin. They called it elephant skin. It was rough, wrinkly, like a Brillo pad. He was in constant misery.
DINOVITE.com.
We started feeding him the Dynavite, and his skin, it's a 180 turnaround. His skin has cleared up. He is not in pain. Stone is in excellent shape today. He runs. Stays slim and trim and follows my husband around like he worships him. I would highly encourage you to get a rescue dog and start them out on Dynavite right from the beginning, and they will make such a difference in your life. Call 859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Or go to Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-735-7485 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-735-7485 to take your call now. Call 877-735-7485. That's 877-735-7485. Again, 877-735-7485.
Hi, can I help you pick out some flowers?
Yeah, I need a centerpiece, but these yellow ones are too bright for a fundraising event. Do you have anything in gamboge?
Gamboge?
Gamboge.
As a small business owner, you've got enough to deal with. Let the experts at Progressive insure your business so you can focus on gamboge. With over 30 commercial auto and business coverage options, we'll build a plan that's right for you.
Oh, and they need to be hypoallergenic.
Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Take your mind off summer heat with 15% off special order windows, even installed windows, plus patio and garage doors at the Home Depot. Get a better insulated home for more comfort throughout the year. Plus, get 12-month special financing on select window and door purchases of $299 or more with your Home Depot consumer credit card. New windows and doors are comfortably within reach. Now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 10th, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. See store for details.
Hi, I'm Anthony Nardo, owner of Reborn Cabinets. My dad started Reborn Cabinets 30 years ago upon his core value that we should treat every customer's home as if it were our own. And BBB knows we still value every customer and their feedback just as much as the day we started. You can trust BBB's customer reviews because they ensure the information you find out about Reborn Cabinets is verified and truthful. Our BBB accreditation puts us on the short list of remodelers BBB has verified. Reborn Cabinets invites you to check out our reviews at BBB.org.
Today, my new dad threw a barbecue.
I burnt everything.
And then we played catch.
I broke Mr. Lewis's window. And then, somehow, my hand.
My hand! And then my dad even let me drive his car.
The hospital's on the right!
It was a rough day.
It was a great day.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is Money Talk.
We are back in America's Money program. Checking out those taxi medallions, yeah, within the last couple of years in New York City, they had traded at more than $1 million per medallion. Now, the problem there is some people purchase the medallions to go into the taxi business, perhaps as an individual, and borrowed money, put money down, and then borrowed the rest. And now, of course, they've gone down to about $500,000 from over $1 million, and that's what you call an underwater mortgage, only this time it's not on a house, it's on a taxi medallion, because the impact of Uber and Lyft and the other new services that have come in have really had a dire impact on the value of those taxi medallions. Absolutely the worst thing that could have happened to those owners of those taxi medallions in New York City. Now, of course, New York is a bit unique on that taxi medallion business. It's not necessarily the way all of the taxi systems are run around the world, but certainly in New York City, it had a long history. Wow, if you can afford to buy a taxi medallion, you are set. Yeah, you have to work hard, but you are set. Well, not anymore. Not anymore. It's changed dramatically. I want to thank Kevin Kelly for taking the time to join us. His new book, The Inevitable, Understanding the 12 Technological Forces That Will Shape Our Future. Money Talk On Demand information available at bobbrinker.com, and also information on the Market Timer Investment Letter, where you can request a complimentary back issue. That information also available at bobbrinker.com. I want to thank you very much for joining us. Till next time. Happy investing, and may the odds be ever in your favor.
Hey, it's Jillian, and I want to tell you guys about Northwest Rugs and Furniture. Did you-